I should think it's more than 11:15.
Then we have 3/4 of an hour.
How can you be sure?
Because of drama, Miss Flitworth. The kind of death who poses against the skyline and gets lit up by lightning flashes, said Bill Dawe disapprovingly, doesn't turn up at 11:25 if he can possibly turn up at midnight. She nodded, white-faced, and disappeared upstairs. After a minute or two, she returned, with Sal wrapped up in a blanket.
Still fast asleep, she said.
That's not sleep. The rain had stopped, but the storm still marched around the hills. The air sizzled, still seemed oven-hot. Bill Dawe led the way past the hen house, where Cyril and his elderly harem were crouched back in the darkness, all trying to occupy the same few inches of perch. There was a pale green glow hovering around the farmhouse chimney.
"We call that Mother Carey's fire," said Miss Flitworth. "It's an omen."
"An omen of what?"
"What? Oh, don't ask me. Just an omen, I suppose. Just basic omenry. Where are we going?"
"Into the town."
"To be near the scythe?"
"Yes."
He disappeared into the barn. After a while, he came out leading Binky, saddled and harnessed. He mounted up, then leaned down and pulled both her and the sleeping child onto the horse in front of him.
"If I'm wrong," he added, "this horse will take you wherever you want to go."
"I shan't want to go anywhere except back home."
"Wherever."
Binky broke into a trot as they turned onto the road to the town. Wind blew the leaves off the trees, which tumbled past them and on up the road. The occasional flash of lightning still hissed across the sky. Miss Flitworth looked at the hill beyond the farm.
"Bill."
"I know."
"It's there again."
"I know."
"Why isn't it chasing us?"
"We're safe until the sand runs out."
"And you die when the sand runs out?"
"No. When the sand runs out is when I should die. I will be in the space between life and afterlife."
"Bill, it looked as though the thing it was riding, I thought it was a proper horse, just very skinny, but..."
"It's a skeletal steed. Impressive, but impractical. I had one once, but the head fell off."
"A bit like flogging a dead horse, I should think."
"Ha, ha. Most amusing, Miss Flitworth."
"I think that at a time like this you can stop calling me Miss Flitworth," said Miss Flitworth.
"Renata?"
She looked startled.
"How did you know my name? Oh, you've probably seen it written down, right?"
"Engraved."
"On one of them hourglasses?"
"Yes."
"With all them sands of time pouring through?"
"Yes."
"Everyone's got one?"
"Yes."
"So you know how long I've..."
"Yes."
"It must be very odd knowing the kind of things you know."
"Do not ask me."
"That's not fair, you know. If we knew when we were going to die, people would live better lives."
"If people knew when they were going to die, I think they probably wouldn't live at all."
"Oh, very gnomic. And what do you know about it, Bill Dawe?"
"Everything."
Binky trotted up one of the town's meagre handful of streets and over the cobbles of the square. There was no one else around. In cities like Ankh-Morpork, midnight was just late evening, because there was no civic night at all, just evenings fading into dawns. But here, people regulated their lives by things like sunsets and mispronounced cockcrows. Midnight meant what it said. Even with the storm stalking the hills, the square itself was hushed. The ticking of the clock in its tower, unnoticeable at midday, now seemed to echo off the buildings. As they approached, something whirred deep in its cogwheeled innards. The minute hand moved with a clonk and shuddered to a halt on the 9. A trapdoor opened in the clock face, and 2 little mechanical figures whirred out self-importantly and tapped a small bell with great apparent effort.
Ting, ting, ting.
The figures lined up and wobbled back into the clock.
"They've been there ever since I was a girl. Mr. Simnel's great-great-granddad made them," said Miss Flitworth. "I always wondered what they did between chimes, you know. I thought they had a little house in there or something."
"I don't think so. They're just a thing. They're not alive."
"Well, they've been there for hundreds of years. Maybe life is something you sort of acquire."
"Yes."
They waited in silence, except for the occasional thud as the minute hand climbed the night.
"It's been quite nice having you around the place, Bill Dawe,"